Good morning, Mom. How are you?
Good morning, Ian. I'm doing great.
Happy almost Mother's Day.
Oh my gosh, yes. Only wished I could have all my children back home for a big Mother's Day celebration, but...
Yeah, I know. You've been cooped up by yourself out there in Bend for, goodness, almost 2 months now.
Yes. Came back from Hawaii and I've been home ever since.
Well, it is almost Mother's Day. What would you have for your Mother's Day breakfast?
Oh, I would have crepes with strawberries, whipped cream, and some Vermont maple syrup.
Well, we did just send you out some maple syrup, so hopefully you've saved some.
Yes, I have some and I'm going to enjoy putting that on and have a great Mother's Day. And hopefully I'll do a Zoom call with all our children.
Well, we'll definitely have to schedule that. Well, I was thinking back to Mother's Day past and all the times that we've spent together on Mother's Day, and kind of some of the Mother's Day that stood out most to me was a lot of the most recent Mother's Day, I guess, were out at Tour California. It seemed like that race always started on Mother's Day, and you always decided to come down from Oregon and cheer me on Mother's Day weekend.
Yes, I absolutely loved that. We went several weekends, and I'd always look for you at the start line. You would always come over and, you know, give me a big hug and wish me happy Mother's Day, and you would ride for me too. So it was a real special.
Yeah, well, some good memories, obviously, Mom. And what is your most fond memory of your mother growing up when you were a child?
My most fond memory was her is just being at home and all being around the table and being able to make her a nice breakfast in bed, soggy French toast that, you know, and pick some flowers, pansies, of course, for my mom, and just sharing in some family time.
And you've had an athletic career. You've obviously ran marathons, you've done triathlons, bike racing. You were actually the Oregon's best all-around rider 1 year when you were competing with Austin and I. Obviously your motherhood did not change your quest to train and to ride and to get outdoors. What kind of advice do you have to any maybe new mothers out there who are just have had a child and trying to continue to exercise? What's your advice to stay healthy and stay active?
I think it's really important to not lose your identity. And I think that your kids look up to you and gives them an example that's a very important part of your life is to exercise, stay healthy, and, you know, give back to them. And pretty soon then when they grow up to be a little bit older, they can choose, you know, the path that they want to choose and just support it. Like I got back into bike racing when you guys decided to do bike racing and then make it a family event for everybody.
Do you remember when we were younger and I had set up your bike on the indoor trainer we had at the time? And I think I let you borrow my iPod Shuffle and you always would wake up and run at 5:45 in the morning before Austin and I woke up. But I think you had an injury or something. So I set up your bike on the trainer. And I remember waking up to you just lip syncing and, you know, singing the chorus of one Red Hot Chili Peppers song, riding the trainer at 5 in the morning.
Oh my gosh, you really caught me and you didn't tell me. Yeah, that, you know, you guys always supported what I had going on. And I remember that too. I'm sorry, these many years later, you brought that up.
Well, it was fond memories, and I'm sure at some point in my life I'll be caught lip syncing in the basement to a song with my headphones in.
Yeah, maybe Wildflowers.
Yeah, Tom Petty. Yeah. Well, Mom, I'll be sure to schedule a Zoom call for this weekend with all the siblings. But we all love you, and just wanted to wish you a happy Mother's Day.
Thank you so much, Ian. And you have a great day. And thank you for chatting with me.
Yeah. Love you, Mom.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Good morning, everyone. And welcome to a Mother's Day edition of Breakfast with Boz Detours. You've just heard a short conversation I had with my mom, Dina. She's out in Oregon. I tried to call her and surprise her and not let her know that I was recording her for the podcast, but just with the technology required to get her online and get connected, she was suspicious, but still got my mom on the podcast. I'm sure she's going to be very happy. She's going to listen to it 100 times. I love you, Mom. And that's right, Mother's Day is coming up this weekend. So for all of you listeners, let this be a friendly reminder to give your mom a call this Sunday for Mother's Day. I'm not able to see my mom this year. She's out in Oregon. I'm here in Vermont still. I'm not able to send her or cook her any crepes, but I did send her out some maple syrup that my brother and I and wife made for her. So hopefully she can have a little sweetness from here in Vermont. And with that, let's dive in to today's show of Breakfast with Boz, served by Wahoo. In today's episode, we are going to be hearing from two mothers of the professional cycling world. Both of these women were world champions in the year 2015. First, we're going to be hearing from Lizzie Deignan. She is a professional road cyclist for the Trek Segafredo team. Following Lizzie, we're going to be hearing from Sonia Looney. She won the 2015 Mountain Bike 24-Hour World Championships. Since 2015, both of these women have had children. Today, both of these women are still competing at the top of their sport. A real inspiration for any of you women out there who may be expecting a baby or may already have a baby. Finding that balance is key. And with that, let's hear from Lizzie Deignan. Well, I am being joined by former world champion and world champion mother, Lizzie Deignan. Lizzie, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How are you and where are you at?
Yeah, I'm good. We're in the UK, which is nice. We're in a house and we have a garden, so we're trying to make the best of like lockdown and family time. We've had some good weather in the UK, which has been a blessing.
And how is your little daughter Orla and your husband Phil?
Yeah, both good, although Orla's teething at the moment, so she's not much fun. She's a bit angsty, and yeah, me and Phil are good. We're spending lots and lots of time together.
Which is probably something unique. I mean, I know you were both racing professionally for a handful of years when you first started dating and were married, and then last year Phil became full-time father as you were racing and being a mother. But now obviously you're both at home probably for the longest amount of time that either of you have spent together since you've known each other.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, we're so used to coming and going and seeing each other for small pieces of time. But so far, so good. Yeah, I don't think there's a lockdown divorce on the cards. I think we're good friends. Okay.
Well, this is a special Mother's Day episode, and I am aware that Mother's Day in the UK is not until later in the year, correct?
It's been actually already.
Oh, well, so happy Mother's Day then.
Thank you.
Well, you gave birth to your daughter Orla in September of 2018. You know, this is kind of right in the middle of your cycling career in many ways. How has being a mother changed you both as a person, but also as an athlete? Because you're still obviously racing for Trek Segafredo at the World Tour level.
Oh, God, it's changed my life completely. I think anybody who becomes a parent understands it, that your life is not your own anymore. And as a professional athlete, you have to be pretty selfish to be successful. So it's been kind of a balancing act of learning how to give my energy to Orla, but also save enough energy to be a professional athlete as well. And it's just been a balancing act. I mean, if people have full-time jobs, they'd understand that too, as well as being a parent. It's full on, but it's given me a better perspective on what bike riding means to me. I mean, I was riding professionally since the age of 15, really. So to get to 30 and have a break in terms of a year off with my maternity just made me love cycling again, which I definitely started to kind of go off a little bit. So Orla kind of reignited my enthusiasm, really, for all sorts of things.
Well, it's interesting you say that because, you know, one thing that you kind of set a precedent for was you were one of the first, I'd say, female cyclists, especially at your level, to actually have a child kind of in the middle of your career. And in many ways, you've kind of been a trendsetter, and also, you know, to notify women of professional sport that it's okay to have a child in the middle of your career and still come back. You know, how challenging was that, both from, you know, a physical perspective, but also just psychological perspective, and also just support from teams? And, you know, both, I'm sure you heard from fans that were supportive, but also maybe critical of that choice.
Yeah, there was either or, really. There was really a split down the middle. Some people, when I told them I was pregnant and continuing racing, were like, oh, wow, what a challenge. That's really cool. And then other people were like, not sure about that. And I think it depends on your own upbringing, what your the women in your family did when they'd given birth, whether they were full-time mothers or whether they continued. And I suppose the role models, female role models in my family, had always gone back to work, and essentially cycling is my job, and I just saw it as the fact that I was going back to work. It wasn't such a big deal, but like you say, it is quite a big deal in cycling. There aren't many women who have done it, and that's because of lots of different reasons, but probably the main one would be financially. I mean, I'm in a position which is quite unique in that I could afford to take the time out and not get an income, which a lot of women in professional sport aren't. That's changing, but yeah, that was a bit unique, I suppose.
Yeah, well, and do you feel in certain ways you've inspired other women and other professional cyclists around you to realize that that is a possibility now, because you've obviously been able to, you know, give birth to Orla, you know, continue to be an outstanding mother, but still return to racing at the highest level and be extremely competitive?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, there's now a maternity clause in the women's contracts that there wasn't before I became pregnant. So that's a big achievement in itself, I think. So it means that if women do become pregnant and want to become pregnant, then they're not going to automatically lose their job, which they would have before. So that's a big step forward. And from a physical point of view, there is absolutely no reason why you can't come back to professional sport after giving birth. Like, that's been proven by so many athletes. It's just all the stuff around it that needs to be in place in order to be able to kind of dedicate your life still to sport as well.
Were you part of the initiative to put that maternity clause in World Tour teams' contracts?
No, that mainly came from the Cyclists Alliance, which I'm a member of. So they're basically a union for female cyclists. So.
And how does that clause actually read? If you have a child, is it for the duration of the pregnancy, lead, you know, 3 months post-pregnancy, that the contract is somewhat kind of valid for to take that maternity leave?
So I think there's 3 months at full play, and then there's 3 months at half pay, and then your position on the team has to stay open.
Well, that is very cool to hear. I'm happy to actually to hear that wasn't implemented when you gave birth to Orla. That's come subsequently after.
Yeah, and you know, I was very lucky, although I didn't have that maternity clause. I joined a new team, Trek Segafredo, who completely supported me. I mean, they signed me as a pregnant athlete and essentially paid my maternity leave. So yeah, I was very lucky to join Trek Segafredo.
Yeah, well, I think to a degree your return to sport, you know, is unique in the sense that you also set a kind of a deadline. You said you were going to come back to professional cycling with the end of your career kind of culminating at the Tokyo Olympics in 2020, which have now been pushed back to 2021, and you've announced that you're going to continue your career into 2021 just to kind of ride out to the Olympics because you obviously are a contender to win. Has that been a positive change that the Olympics have been pushed back, or is it, you know, extending your career for an extra year been something that you had to question?
It was definitely a family decision. I mean, essentially, as long as I'm still racing, my husband is a full-time father to Orla. Because we're based in a different country, he needs to be able to do that in order for me to have the best chance, really. So it means that Philip is kind of putting a pause on his next step after retiring from professional sport. So it's a family decision. And it was hard to take at first because, you know, like most athletes, we trained really hard coming into the Olympics, and you know, to know that I've got to do that all again for another winter, especially as Orla is getting older, she demands more energy now. You know, next year she'll be 3, and 3-year-olds run around a lot more than a 1-year-old does. So it'll be a different challenge, but yeah, I mean, we're just happy to have another year being professional sports people. It's nice.
Well, would that be the ultimate dream, is to stand on the top step of the podium in Tokyo with Orla up there holding your gold medal?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, that would be kind of, yeah, beyond my wildest dreams, really. I mean, I've always wanted to be Olympic champion, but I suppose one of the silver linings now is that if Orla, you know, is able to come, she'll be a little bit older and she'll be able to hopefully remember it, which is nice.
Yeah. And how is Orla? She's obviously still young, but I've seen you a couple of times around Monaco. She has a little bike rack that she sits in. You take her on little bike rides. Is she continuing to enjoy getting outdoors on the back of your bike?
Oh yeah, she's obsessed with bikes. She sometimes she'll wake up in the morning and bike will be the first thing she says. Yeah, she loves bikes. I guess she just sees me and her dad going out on the bike all the time. So it's just part of her life.
Is she old enough yet to get a little Strider bike?
So she has two Strider bikes. She was very lucky, like within a week of being born, she got a couple of freebies sent in the post. So she has two, and she likes to kind of wash them more than she likes to ride them at the moment, but she'll get there.
Well, I'm sure Phil would appreciate if she washed his bike.
Yeah. Yeah. She just gets wet and causes a big mess, but it kills an hour. So.
That's good. Well, I'm sure finding little projects like that during this time that kill an hour are very beneficial.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time, Lizzie. I know that you're obviously a busy mother, and I've missed the British Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day. Please tell Orla and Phil that I say hello.
I will do. They say hello back.
All right. Thanks, Lizzie.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, Lizzie, for taking the time to speak. After I hung up my recorder, Lizzie mentioned that despite not traveling and racing, she has been incredibly busy at home. In the UK, all the parks and places that she would take little Orla to play are closed at the moment, so they've been confined to their backyard and their driveway for playtime. She's gotten creative with a couple little activities to keep her daughter busy. And that's a reminder that, folks, please remember to call your mother this Sunday. I remember when I was at Team Sky, Mother's Day in the UK is before Mother's Day in the US, and I remember everyone on the team saying, oh, it's Mother's Day, better call my mom. And I was panicking because I always tried to make an effort to do something special for my mom on Mother's Day. And I always knew that Mother's Day was in May, but for some reason when I was racing at Sky and Mother's Day came earlier in the UK, I was caught off guard. So for those of you in North America who are celebrating Mother's Day this weekend, don't forget, maybe put a card in the mail, give your mom a call, set up a Zoom call. You know they'll love it. They'll appreciate it. And for all you mothers out there, happy Mother's Day. Let's speak to another mother. Up next, we have 2015 24-hour mountain bike world champion, new mother, Sonia Looney. Well, the next guest, Sonia Looney. Sonia, thanks for taking the time to join me today.
I'm super excited to be here. Thank you.
First off, where are you and how are you doing?
I am in beautiful British Columbia. I live in Kelowna, which is the central interior, if you want to use fancy geographical terms. And I'm doing great.
I actually was up there, goodness, I don't know, maybe 2012 for Axel Merckx's Grand Fondo. It's a gorgeous area up there.
Yeah, I think he might. I heard there's rumors he's putting on a gravel race around here, but it's pretty cool to have him in the valley. And it's fun because I was at a mountain bike race and I had never actually met him before. And it was a 6-hour mountain bike race. And I was racing solo and he was racing on a duo team. And he and his teammate and I kept like racing each other. So that was pretty fun.
What's the name of the lake monster up there? Okapogo or something?
Yeah, Okapogo monster. Apparently they've had, like, I don't know the technical term, but they had a team of people come looking to see if they could prove that Okapogo existed.
I never saw the monster, but there was a Okapogo ice cream shop not too far from where I was staying when I was up there. And yeah, I ate a lot of the Okapogo ice cream while I was there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, you are a new mother. Your son Bradley is just a few months old now. How has motherhood been?
Yeah, it's funny. It still sounds weird to hear your son Bradley. He just turned 6 weeks old yesterday, and it's been awesome. You know, there's been a lot of learning and a lot of just like wonder is the best way to describe it. Whenever you look at this human, and it still hasn't really registered that he came out of me and my body made him. And I don't know if it's still even really registered that he's my son instead of a cute baby that I'm taking care of. But it's been a great opportunity to be a team with my husband and to be really supportive of one another. And that was something that I was actually really looking forward to.
Yeah. Well, and how has motherhood changed your, you know, both you as a person, but also as an athlete? Because, you know, the other guest on this podcast is Lizzie Deignan. You know, she returned to racing as, you know, you're returning to racing when things open up again. How has that changed just your perspective up to this point? And how do you think it'll change that going forward?
I wouldn't say like as a person, I feel that much different. I just feel like I have more love and responsibility at the same time in my life and a great opportunity to continue to teach and be a leader, which is something that I really, really love and am passionate about. From a racing perspective, it's pretty interesting because with all the things happening, we don't have the childcare that we are hoping, or we won't have the childcare that we're hoping to get you know, in the really near future. So it really, as I mentioned, it really makes my husband and I have to work together as a team where he takes a couple hours off of work during the day so that I can go train. And on the weekends, he and I really enjoy riding together, but we trade off. And I'm just excited as a racer just to show women that if they want to get back into the sport, that they can, and that a pregnancy is not a retirement slip that you have to fill out. If you want to, that's completely awesome and fine, but you can do it. And in order to, quote, do it all, it means not doing it all by yourself. It means getting the help that you need if it's available to you. It means using your medical community around you. Like, I'm certainly going to be using pelvic floor physio and my chiropractor and massage therapy and talking with other people who have returned to racing from pregnancy and childbirth. And another funny story, I rode through my entire pregnancy. I rode up until basically the day before my son was born, and I took great care. I was still mountain biking, riding all my trails, doing all those things. And I took great care to make sure that I wasn't taking any additional risks. So I hadn't fallen off my bike. It had been quite some time since I had fallen off my bike. And yesterday I was out riding, and I've been riding more, not crazy aggressive because I don't want to, you know, have to go to the hospital, but a little more aggressively than I had been while I was pregnant. And I had my first crash in almost a year. It wasn't a bad crash. I just have a little bit of a bruise on my hip, like really nothing. But the first thought that went through my head as soon as I crashed is I popped back up and I thought, can I still hold my son? And that was literally the first thing that I thought. And that has never happened before.
Well, I guess that's one of the huge kind of instinctual shifts probably within you or within any parent, is that all of a sudden your life almost becomes secondary to your child's. And the fact that you didn't jump up and think, oh, am I okay? Is my bike okay? You thought, you know, can I hold my son? That's a huge perspective shift.
Yeah, something I'm really excited about having a son is that I get to show him what it means to be a strong female. And that's such a gift. I get to show him that women are amazing athletes and women can be entrepreneurs, and this is what hard work looks like. And I'm just really excited to be an example for him.
Yeah, well, how was pregnancy as a professional athlete? Because, you know, obviously mountain biking, it's a different structure than road racing. You don't have as much of a kind of a team dynamic and, you know, sponsors that are kind of dictated by management. Did you feel supported through your pregnancy from sponsors and partners?
Mostly I did. I mean, pregnancy happened kind of in the middle of the season, and I intentionally did that because I wanted to be able to deliver a full race season per my contracts before I got pregnant. So I planned ahead with that, and I started racing in early January of last year through the end of June, which I felt was a full race season, and then tried to get pregnant after that. Unfortunately, I got pregnant pretty quickly. But I mean, it's a roller coaster because you don't really know how people are going to respond whenever you say that you're pregnant. And you don't know if people are going to assume that you might not return to racing or even return to riding. It's a big unknown. And I know myself, but other people don't know you the way that you do. So I was afraid of other people's assumptions of me and what I was capable of. And that was frustrating for me, that it wasn't perfect. I did lose some sponsors along the way. And I mean, to each his own, I guess. And it was frustrating. But all I can do is be the best that I can be, is show up every day and ride and create content and be a good leader in our community. And the brands that want to align with that, whether I'm a mom or not, that's great. And I've been really fortunate that I have had a lot of support along the way, and that the brands that are with me now are brands that I know are interested in me as a well-rounded human and not only as a racer.
Yeah, well, and one thing that you're known for and that you're an advocate for as well is you're plant-based. That's a diet that I do not practice. I'm not on any real specific diet. My wife and I do eat, I love vegetables, so I do eat a lot of plants. But has that affected or been any sort of concern while having a baby? I mean, you know, obviously much more than I do about the plant-based diet. How has that process been while giving birth?
Yeah, that's a great question. And first of all, anybody that eats plants is somewhat plant-based. Like, and I don't really like the label. I use the label because I don't eat any animal products, mostly just to show that you can do that if you want to. And the funny thing with eating plant-based is I actually ate that way and I didn't tell anyone for about 4 years because I was afraid of the label. But to answer your question, yeah, it actually was great. Initially, of course, like anything, if you're doing something that's out of the ordinary, or even if you're not, I'm a big research type and I like getting all the data and reading and talking to experts about it. So there are some really great books about, quote, vegan pregnancy. And I use the word vegan because vegan and plant-based aren't necessarily the same thing. But I wrote a blog post that describes at length all the differences and things that you might want to do. But the truth is that it's really not that much different. Your pregnancy diet, like you're supposed to avoid certain animal products already, and you're supposed to try to eat foods that have folate and vitamins. And turns out that most of those things, or all of those things, come from beans and vegetables and whole grains. So there really wasn't much difference to my diet other than I had to stop drinking alcohol and I had to cut back on my caffeine. But I think that I had a healthier pregnancy because of my diet. Like I had no swelling. I had no worries of any types of preeclampsia or diabetes. And you cannot be overweight and still get diabetes while you're pregnant. So, you know, there's these concerns that are there. And it was great to know that I was giving my baby, doing the best that I could for my baby. And I think that every mother does that, whether they eat plant-based or not. It's just feeling like you have some sort of control and influence in a time where there is not a lot of control that you can have.
Yeah, well, and that's something that, you know, every athlete is trying to find is that balance and that consistency. And especially, I'm sure, when you're traveling, a diet like that becomes more difficult. And for the moment, obviously, no one's traveling, no one's racing. But I'm assuming that you've had goals of the year that have been postponed or changed. When was your plan to return to racing? You know, let's take COVID out of the situation. When were you planning on returning to racing this year?
My first race back was actually supposed to be in a couple of weeks, and it was a 6-hour mountain bike race that I was going to race as a team. And that was going to be not to be like a high performer, but just to show up and to see what it's like to race with a baby and race potentially with my husband, where we could trade off per lap. And I think that would have been really fun. But my first like real race back was going to be single track 6, which is a 7-day mountain bike stage race in June. And my husband was going to come as a supporting role, which I want to give him a lot of credit for that, because I think in racing, it's getting more mainstream for females to have babies and men to be support. But you see a lot of the time, a lot of men have babies and the women are the supporting role. So I think it's really cool to see a lot of men stepping up and saying, yeah, my wife is racing and I'm here just to watch the baby. And so that was going to be my first race. And I was really excited because I love the community in BC. I love the race promoter, Aaron McConnell. He's a great guy. And single track 6 is such a great mix of steep climbs and really technical riding, which is what I love the most about mountain biking.
Well, do you think at all the fact that racing has been postponed a little bit allows both you and your husband a little bit more time to become a little bit more familiar and kind of accustomed to the responsibilities of having a baby boy around?
Yeah, to be honest, you know, I haven't said this out loud to anybody publicly yet. So I guess now is a really good place to say it is. I'm actually glad that race season is postponed. No sponsor told me you have to come back on a certain date, but I felt like there was an expectation, and maybe it's just my own expectations, that I needed to get back as soon as possible. And maybe even earlier than I, quote, should be. I don't like the word should, because I don't know exactly when that time is, but it just gives me a little bit more leeway. And I have to say that I was expecting to have to be off the bike for longer than I had to be after giving birth. Like, I managed to get back on my bike 10 days postpartum, which was a surprise. But it's been 6 weeks. I've been riding my bike, but I still haven't felt the strong feeling really come back. I've had 1 or 2 days where I felt strong, and the rest of the days I kind of ride and I don't have any like strong punch behind my pedal stroke. So not having the pressure of an impending stage race is actually kind of nice, but I am excited to get back to racing later in the season, because I've never taken more than 6 months off of competition in my entire life, whether it be like a different sport or cycling. And my last race, as I mentioned, was at the end of June. So a year off of racing is a really long time for me. And I really miss the community of racing, and I miss being able to push myself like that. So yeah, I'm happy that we have this extra time to adapt to having a baby, to working as a team, to me getting to know my body again and figure out, you know, how am I supposed to train now, and what does my timeline look like? And having that flexibility is actually a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously your training has changed during, you know, pre-pregnancy and post-pregnancy, but do you have a coach that you work with who has maybe prescribed training differently or will prescribe training differently going forward because just physiological changes from having a baby?
You know, honestly, I don't work with a coach. I don't know why, but coaching just hasn't worked for me in the past. Like, I've tried multiple coaches, and it might be me. It might be just like something that, like, maybe it's my attitude, or maybe it's just the way that I don't know. Coaching just hasn't worked for me. And I always have gotten overtrained when I've worked with coaches. I think part of it is because I have a lot of different interests outside of cycling. So I have probably way more inputs and energy that is hard to describe to a coach. So, or maybe I'm not willing to rest as much. And rest doesn't just mean resting from workouts. It means like resting from all inputs in your life as much as you can. And I'm not very good at that. So that might be why I've been difficult to coach as an athlete. But from a coaching perspective, I love looking at what coaches say at different types of workouts. And as a self-coached athlete, I would say that not rushing back to doing formal intensity too soon is important, because realizing that your body as a postpartum person, female, it's still healing. Like, on the outside, I might look normal. I might be able to ride my bike 10 to 15 hours a week, but there is still internal things that have to heal, that take months to heal. And there's an energy associated with that. And there's an energy associated with breastfeeding and not sleeping for more than 2 to 3 hours at a time. So I think just having grace with yourself and is important. And also, whenever you are starting to get back to it, making sure that you don't pile on too much intensity too soon, and kind of starting at the basics, because I haven't really done any intensity for almost a year. I've been doing lots of the lower intensity work, and I have a good foundation for that. I wasn't sure how my endurance was, because my rides, like, I wasn't doing more than like a 2 hour ride, but I've done now 3.5 to 4 hour mountain bike rides, and I still feel really good from an endurance perspective. So it's just starting to layer back on that, like, the type of sweet spot work, the type of higher intensity work as race season gets closer. And I'm excited about having my trainer, you know, like my kicker in my garage, because once Bradley starts getting on a normal nap routine, I'll be able to predict more readily, like, okay, I have an hour. And when you have an hour, you need to make the most of that hour. And the best thing about indoor training is that 1 hour inside is like 2 hours outside, because you're pedaling the whole time and you control every single variable and you can't cheat your workout in any way, shape, or form. So having that efficiency, I've spent all my winters on the trainer. Like, I trained for Cape Epic last year on the trainer in my garage. So I know how to structure my workouts inside so that I can make the most of that. And I actually look forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I've heard from quite a few people recently who've just been busier with this time, and, you know, having kids at home, is how efficient, you know, they found the trainer, and people that would normally want to go outside and ride have now turned that time to indoor riding, and all of a sudden realized, like, wow, I can, you know, 60 to 90 minutes a day is plenty of time to stay fit and do a really good workout.
Yeah. And I mentioned, like, my husband supporting me and I'm supporting him to ride, but most of his rides he chooses to ride inside. Like, he could go outside and go mountain biking, but because of the efficiency of the trainer, he likes going in the garage and riding the trainer. And he's seeing, for the first time, like, he's doing like a real structured training program, and he's seeing massive benefits more than he's seen with outdoor training.
Wow. Yeah, there's definitely something to it. And it's, you know, it's short and it's focused, and there's very little, if no, interruptions.
Yeah. And you can, like, blast your music as loud as you want, and you can close your eyes, which you can't really do. It's not really recommended that you do when you're doing intervals outside.
Yeah, well, as long as you're not blasting the music so loud that it wakes little Bradley up.
That's right.
Do you have a trailer bike already in the garage ready to go when he's old enough to be able to follow you around?
I have, like, one of the ones that attached to your bike, and I saw it was one of the little kids run bike companies. it was like attached, like it was almost like a rocking horse where the kid could get on the bike and it would rock forward and back. And it was a video of someone's kid that can't even walk getting on one of those things. So I want to get one of those, but I have one of the little pull trailers. I'm a little bit nervous about that just because I'm already leery of road riding to begin with, just because of cars on the road. So I would have to make sure that, you know, it's safe to ride somewhere where I'm not going to get hit by a car. But I have an infant sling that it comes with, and I just got that in the mail the other day. And now I'm kind of like, when is it too soon to take him out on a bike ride?
Well, hopefully soon enough, and hopefully soon things will open up and it'll be safe to take him out. Well, you have a podcast of your own. Where can listeners find your podcast?
My podcast is called The Sonia Looney Show, and you can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, my website, sonialooney.com/podcasts with an S. It's about mindset, nutrition, and inspiring stories. And it's just about how to live a better life every single day, how to get out of bed and be more motivated and have the tools to find your potential.
Well, that sounds like you have all the tools in your quiver to be a wonderful mother. And there's talk of maybe being a regular contributor to Breakfast with Boz. So I'm sure listeners will be hearing more from you. And if they need even more, they can check out The Sonia Looney Show, however they download their podcast.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Sonia. And yeah, have a great day and tell little Bradley we all say hello.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Sonia, for taking the time. And once again, thank you to Lizzie Deignan, two inspiring mothers out there. For all of you mothers, happy Mother's Day. For all of you children, do not forget to call your mother this weekend. Thank you all once again for listening to another episode of Breakfast with Boz Detours being served by Wahoo. I'll be back next week with another interesting episode. I'm going to have two time trial specialists joining us next week. You'll hear more next Wednesday when that comes out. In the meantime, you can join Heather Jackson this Friday for a Q&A at 12 p.m. Eastern on Wahoo's Facebook and YouTube channel. And before my conversations with my time trial friends, you can ride with Colin Strickland next Monday, May 11th at 12 p.m. Eastern. You can join him on Wahoo's Facebook and YouTube channel as well. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, everyone, and I'll catch you back here next week. Breakfast with Boz, Detours, being served by Wahoo.